I hope that the Lord will open our eyes to see this wonderful feast prepared by God for us to enjoy. And one thing we all need to realize is that all the seven feasts in the Bible culminate today in the Lord's table. We come to the Lord's table every Lord's Day to celebrate, to enjoy this wonderful feast prepared by God. Remember, the Lord instituted the Lord's table right after the Passover. That means today for us in the New Testament age, our Passover, the feast, is the Lord's table. Because Christ is the true and the real Passover. Remember John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right? So Christ is the reality of this wonderful Passover Lamb. The feast in the Old Testament days. Right? And I hope that some of you will really gather together all those wonderful verses and update the verses here. Yes, we all need to update everything, right? Just like your computer, there's updating almost every day, if not every week. Right? Isn't it true? There's an update. So after the conference, there's going to be an update. Because for the conference, of course, we cannot make a big chart like this. Otherwise, it's going to be it's going to be a few pages. But it's very good for you all to update this chart. Why? You noticed yesterday our Lord's table is much richer, right? Yes. Isn't it? Because you have more realization of how rich the wonderful feast is. Now, I was considering before the Lord, how can we enjoy the feast even in a much richer way? Now, you're going to say, John, you're going to give us another method. No, I don't care for methods, but I care for the reality, the substance. Now, tell me, where do you get a substance of this wonderful reality of the table? In the songs? Where? Huh? Where do you think? In your experience, but your experience is based upon what? Based upon the Word of God. The Word is very important. Well, what we are doing actually in this conference to show us the riches of all these feasts is in the Word. So when we come to the Lord's table, why not use the Word? Can you imagine if one brother stood up and read concerning the Passover feast? Right? Behold the Lamb of God. Or somebody would read 1 Peter chapter 2, he put all our sins upon himself. He bore upon his own body on a tree. Right? Or somebody may open up Isaiah 53 and read it. Right? A few verses. It's so wonderful. And then you can read about the redeeming blood of the Lamb to deliver us out of this present evil age. My, can you imagine if so many of us, each one of us, bring up one solid verse in the Bible? I'd like to really try it out to see how the meeting will look like. But you know, in order to do that, you have to prepare it before you come. How can you have a feast without preparation, you tell me? Right after this meeting, we're going to have lunch together. Sharon and Mary and some other saints are already asking the first question, What are we going to eat today? What food? Can you imagine? Nobody prepares the food. We're going to eat air, you know, and drink some water. Hot water and air will be our feast. Come prepared. Come prepared. If every one of us come to the feast prepared, otherwise, how are you going to remember the Lord? The Lord Jesus, after he broke bread, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, do you have a very good memory of him? You're going to depend on your memory. You just come to the meeting depending on your blank memory. So, what do you remember? Thank you, Lord, you died for me on the cross. That's all you remembered. Thank you, my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord. That's all you remembered. Because you didn't come prepared. So, our feast becomes a very rich or poor. Poor feast. Just some bread and butter. Is that a feast? Right? You need to have pancakes. But to have pancakes, you have to prepare. How about that? Right? You need to prepare. You need to do some work. And then you come to the feast. Why not do it? Otherwise, you sit there and I sit here and what am I going to praise him about? All of a sudden, your mind is just blank. One brother asked me last night at the meeting, I have so much experience during the week, but I forgot what they are. Forgot? You forgot. Well, I fully sympathize with you. Because we all forget. You just pray, read in the morning, the verses in the evening. What did you read this morning? What did I read this morning? You forgot. That's why my suggestion to all of you is that if you are preparing an offering to offer up to the Father at the meeting, write down your wonderful experience of Christ during the week, and then you choose the best of your experience and you offer it up after the Lord's table. The good thing about writing it down is that you will not be long winding, otherwise your testimony will be 45 minutes. And then after 45 minutes, you are saying a lot of things you really didn't want to say. So, when you write it down, your focus, right? Your focus on what your real experience was that you want to offer up to the Father. Right? Because you're not telling stories. You are telling your experience of Christ as a burnt offering, as a meal offering, as a peace offering, as a sin offering, as a trespass offering. Right here, this is your guideline. Here's a guideline. You need to have a guideline because the Father wants this offering. Right? So, we all need to learn. Don't think spiritual things you don't need to learn. Yes, we all need to learn. Do not think that to worship the living God is a simple matter. No. You want to be an engineer and you don't learn? You don't go to school? Right? Are you a mathematician? Yeah. You almost got your, what do you call that kind of a degree? You forgot. very good. It's wonderful. Right? That means he's not proud. Otherwise, you think you got a certain kind of a strange degree and you're so proud. Right? But you have to realize what God really wants, and you make preparation. I'm so glad one young brother made an app of offerings to the Father. He has all these offerings here, you see. It's even color-coded to give you a deeper impression. Right? Don't think you don't need a chart. You do need a chart. Right? And so you will know what the Father wants, and you can really prepare a wonderful offering. So write it down. Right? So practice to do it. Like I said, it may take half a year to really learn, to become an expert. Right? If you want to be a cook, well, the first few times first few attempts, it may be burned and your fried chicken become charcoal chicken. Oh, I remember one time I tried to make a steak and heat it up and the steak shrank in the microwave and become hard and shrank into this size. My two daughters were just laughing so hard. Daddy made steaks. Well, at least I tried. When you learn, you're learning to prepare the offerings, you may bring something that's burned. Your meal offering, the cake, he just mentioned last night it was in the oven too long. Right? Right. But next time it'll be better. After you learn to bake 10 times, your cake will be perfect. So, don't worry if you made a mistake. It doesn't matter. No, as long as you learn. The biggest mistake is if you don't learn. Right? But everybody who learns makes mistakes. So, please, let us all learn. Even when we come to the feast, don't just come unprepared. Saturday evening, you're already... Just go through some of the verses, right? So that each one of us, can you imagine if each one of us would prepare a wonderful verse concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? The feast of the first fruits. Isn't that wonderful? There are so many wonderful verses. Through death, the Lord destroyed him who has the power of death. Who is the devil. Right? And you can quote Revelation chapter 1. Right? Behold, I was dead. Now I'm alive. And I will live forevermore. Right? This is so wonderful. This is a way that we can really remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that he died for me and that's it. Right. But he rose again from the dead. And what happened? He's the first fruit, the firstborn from among the dead, designated the Son of God in power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. Wow, what a wonderful verse. Right? And with your experience in the Spirit plus the verse, you come to enjoy this wonderful table. Don't you think the Lord will be glorified? Amen. Suppose you were the Lord Jesus. And you see so many saints there preparing all these wonderful aspects. depths of what you have accomplished. What about thanking the Lord as the bread which came down from heaven? Huh? John 6. The feast of what? Unleavened bread. To get rid of all kinds of leaven that is within us. My, it's so wonderful. Learn how to keep the feast and improve it. Right? Don't be so traditional in the oldness, but exercise to, amen, enjoy the Lord's table in a new and living way when you go back to Nigeria. Right? I hope so. We all need to do that. Okay, now let's go to the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost. When you think of the Feast of the Pentecost, what do you think? What is in your mind? You see, that's my expectation. You're going to say the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But how is the Lord going to pour out the Spirit? He ascended. Exactly. You know, the Lord is not only risen from the dead, but he has to what? He has to ascend. He has to go up. Now, why does he have to go up? Now, you have to ask some of this wonderful question here. The Lord died on a cross, right? Is that good enough? No. What's next? He rose from the dead. And what is resurrection now? What is the meaning of resurrection? Just rising from the dead? Huh? And just conquering death? How? So what is resurrection? What does the Word of God say? You are my beloved Son. This day I have begotten you. That means according to the spiritual significance of resurrection, it's not only somebody who rose from the dead, but through the resurrection, the firstborn Son of God, not the only begotten Son, because Christ was the only begotten Son, even in eternity past, but he became a man. And so for the humanity of the Lord Jesus to be designated as the Son of God, it must be through the resurrection. That is why we read all those verses. And in Acts chapter 13, what did Paul say again concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He quoted Psalm 2. This day, meaning to say in the day of resurrection, I have begotten you. And so the scripture says, Peter says, we are all regenerated, born again. How? By faith in Jesus Christ? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Of course, through your faith in him. Right? So, you can really see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is so rich. And he became the firstborn, and we are the many brethren. We are the many brethren. He is the firstborn son, and we are the many sons of God. You see, there's so much riches in the matter of resurrection. That's why we have this feast. If I don't test you, you forget everything that we shared last night or yesterday. Right? I hope you remember them. Don't forget. Then we come to the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost. It's called the Feast of Weeks because it's seven Sabbaths. So that's 49 days. And in the 50th day, that is the feast of the Pentecost. That's why it's called Pentecost. Penta. It's 50. Right? So, the feast of the Pentecost, what happened? The Lord Jesus, 10 days before that, he ascended. Now, why is the ascension important? Tell me. Isn't it better if Jesus remained on earth? The disciples were so sad, Lord, you're leaving. You're leaving. Well, first of all, the Lord says, no, it's expedient for me to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Right? Because if the Lord stays with you here, you can see him, but his purpose is to get into you, to be your life. Right? Now, there are twofold significance and importance why the Lord ascended. First of all, it is to fulfill the scriptures, to sit on the throne in the heavens at the right hand of God. This is very important today. We have a wonderful song that says, there is a man in the glory. When God created man, God wanted man to rule with him. Man is created to rule. You have to remember that. Your destiny is to be kings. You may think, oh, come on, John. Well, it's not my thought. Definitely not my thought. It is God's thought. So if you read Genesis chapter 1, when God says, let us make man, he created man according to his image, in his likeness, and he says, and let them have dominion over all of God's creation. Right. Right. You have to realize something very important in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he ascended as a man. Not as God. For God to be sitting on the throne, he is already there. That's his throne. But for you and I, for a man to sit on the throne, this is too wonderful. You know, the Lord ascended into the heavens how many times? How many times?
Twice.
That's very good. Now you know. The first time is for what? To offer himself to the Father as the first fruits. This is very scriptural. Now, why the second time? The second time, it is to sit on the throne, to be inaugurated, crowned with glory, a man sitting on the throne, because this is man's destiny. Let me read Revelation to you. Firstly, just to show you, for some of the young people here, I think it's good to know, Revelation chapter 1, let's read together. In verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the what?
The ruler over the kings of the earth.
My, how wonderful. As God or as man?
As man.
Tell me. Definitely as a man, because he's the firstborn from among the dead. You know, God can never die, right? Can God die? You think you can kill God? Definitely not. But you can definitely kill the Lord Jesus because he is a man. But God raised him up the third day, so he became the firstborn from the dead. And now he was made ruler and kings over the kings of the earth. Now, let's read further. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, period. No, period. Comma. What does comma means? Something more. There's something more. What is that something more? Amen. He has made us Christians. And he has made us believers. He has made us disciples. He has made us his followers. Made us brothers and sisters. And not only. What more do you want? Jasmine, have you ever thought you were a king? When the Lord comes back, you will see the reality. Today, we are learning through the indwelling spiritual life that is within us to make us ready for that wonderful kingdom life. Now, let's continue with Revelation chapter 2. Don't think this has nothing to do with the Feast of the Pentecost. Remember, the Feast of the Pentecost started with the ascension of Christ. Now, let us read chapter 2. To the church in Thyatira, the Lord said here. Verse 26. And 27, yeah. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end.
To him I will give power over the nations.
What? He's going to give you what?
Power
over the devil. Power over
the nations.
Goodness. Over which nation? You think it's easy job to have power over the nations? That's why we need to grow spiritually today, to know the Lord, to learn to live Christ, to be one with the Lord. Otherwise, how are you going to rule over the nations? And he quoted Psalm 2 in verse 27, right? Let me read it to you. To him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And they, the nations, if they are still rebellious, they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father. Why? Because the Lord is now the ruler of the kings of the earth. And now, you also will be a co-ruler over the nations. People thought about, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. What are you going to do in heaven? What are you going to do in heaven? Play golf? You don't have to go to heaven to play golf. You can go to Monterey somewhere and play golf. I'm not even sure that there's golf in heaven. All the golf balls will drop down to the earth. No, definitely not. But you will have power over the nations to rule over them. That's why the Lord asked us to pray, Father, your kingdom come on earth. But nobody cares for that. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have a wonderful destiny. Really. Then let's go to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, at the very end, thank you, brother. At the very end in chapter 3, verse 21. Yeah, would you please read? How about that? You want to sit in pews or you want to sit on a throne? Where do you want to sit? Don't you have a desire to sit with him on his throne? This is the Lord's promise, but not just to anyone, to him who overcomes. Right, to him who overcomes. And this refers to the millennial kingdom when the Lord Jesus comes the second time. He's going to come again. Right. So there are many more. You can go to Revelation chapter 20, right, that we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Or we just go to the very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Let's go to Revelation, chapter 22, concerning the priests. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me just read to you. Concerning the servants, his servants shall serve him in verse 3 at the end, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no night there in the New Jerusalem. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Amen. And the last verse says, together,
and they shall reign forever and ever.
They shall what? Do you love these verses? Do you enjoy this verse? Don't you want to reign? No? You don't want to?
What?
To reign with Christ. To reign with Christ. Now, this is why the Lord has to ascend to sit on the throne. This is very, very important. This is the first reason why the Lord ascended to the throne. Right? Now, concerning the matter of the ascension, let us read Ephesians chapter 1 first. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1. Let us read. Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened in verse 18. So we need to be enlightened. It's not a matter of doctrines and theology, but our eyes, the eyes of our heart must be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Isn't it wonderful? You're called. It's a wonderful calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And now, verse 19 we saw, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, this is why the Lord has to ascend by the wonderful, exceeding great power of God, right? To be seated at the right hand of God, because God's plan is to give the dominion over to mankind for us to rule. But you cannot rule without his life within you. After man fell and sin entered into man, look at all the nations today. Can they rule properly? Tell me. There's so much unrighteousness, so much corruption, war, rumors of war, fighting, right? So much injustice, murder, killing, stealing. Terrible. Right. And look how people misuse liberty and freedom. Right. Man cannot rule, although he was made to rule. Of course, the monkeys cannot rule, you know, because God did not make the monkeys to rule. Can you imagine if there are monkeys in the United States and no man? You mean, is there going to be a city like New York? New York would be a jungle full of bananas. Yeah, that's what the monkeys like. What about gorillas? What about dogs and cats? Can they rule? Among all of God's creation, who can rule? Only man. This is very scriptural. This is what the Bible says. Let us make man so that they can rule and have dominion. But unfortunately, when Satan came in to corrupt man and sin entered, what kind of a ruling is it today? How many world war? Man can only destroy at the very end. Every empire in the history of mankind at the end is destruction. Be it Babylonian, Grecian, Roman kingdom. Until this very day, everything will fall apart. Yeah. And then the Bible told us at the very end of 3.5 years, my goodness, it's going to be the great tribulation. Terrible. This will be the culmination, the end of the human rule on this earth. Right? And that's why then the Lord will come and then bring his millennial kingdom down to this earth, and the Lord will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And you are going to rule with him. Because how can he rule by himself the whole world? Can you imagine that? Right? And he didn't want to rule by himself. He needs his people to rule with him. But unfortunately, his people didn't care. The Bible says very clearly, we're going to be kings and priests. Right? So now, you can really realize the importance of the feast of the Pentecost, which begins with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So, the Lord there today, sitting on the right hand in the heavenly places, is far above all principalities and powers. The principalities and powers talks about the angelic powers, especially the fallen angel. The principalities and powers. The Lord overcame them. Right? And then might and dominion This is a human government. The whole situation today is in the hands of the Lord. Right. And then every name that is named, including Obama, every name, every prime minister, including you and me, all the names, every name that is named, not only in this age, meaning to say this age also, but also in the age to come, which is the millennial kingdom. And not only that, that is the old creation, the nations. But what about the new creation, the church? Who is the head of the church? The Pope? The bishop? Bishop? You want to be a bishop? The elders? Who is the head of the church? Really? But he is not there. Is he?
Yes.
Where is he?
On the throne.
Oh, yeah, but that's so far away. Where is he today? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in the throne in heaven. No, he's not. But Christ who lives in me. So where is Christ today in the church? Where? In our midst. But the question is this. Is he your head? You listen to him? Or you don't listen to him? But people want to build their own organization. The Roman Catholic. Since when is a church Roman? Is the church Roman? So, the Roman Catholic Church is definitely the wrong church. How can a church be Roman? It's because of King Constantine in year 313. Right. The church is not Roman. The church is heavenly. It would be terrible if the church is German. Even worse if the church is Chinese. Well, there's the church called the American Baptist Church, even the Southern Baptist. What's the difference? Southern Baptist and Northern Baptist. The first Baptist church, and then there's the second Baptist church. And then there's the Lutheran church. These are all man-made. So who is the head of the church? The Pope, Pope Francis. A popular Pope, right? Christ is the head. God has appointed him to be the head over all things to the church. Are you the head of the church in Lagos? Definitely not. If you are, then Christ is not the head. And if you are the head, then it's not his church, it's your church. Who is qualified to be head over all things to the church? Are you? You? What about all of us together? What about four elders? Oh, about 40 elders. No one is qualified. Right. We all have to learn to grow up into the head in all things. In Ephesians chapter 4, let us just read here. Verse 15, let us read Ephesians 4, verse 15, right? Because only the children are tossed to and fro, right? In verse 14, right? With every wind of doctrines by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, all of these things cannot build a church. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He is the head, but not just a figurehead. Is it a figurehead? And in reality, you three brothers are the head? Plus one? Plus another one? We even have a universal eldership. How about that? No. We need to grow up in all things into the head. Into the head. Who is the head? Are you sure? Visible, invisible, real head, not real head. If he's not real, how can you grow up in all things into him? Tell me. In your daily living, do you learn to listen to the head or not? It's very practical. Suppose I cut off your head. What's the body going to be? Headless body. Oh, headless body. You think it's still going to be running around, riding on horses like Hollywood? No. Now, can you replace your head with somebody else? A pig's head? A dog's head? You know. Yeah, mythology, you have a human body with a strange head, a donkey's head. You know, if I become the head of the church, then the church has a donkey's head. Do you want to have a donkey's head in the church? Christ is the unique head of the body. He is the king, the ruler of all the nations in this world. And in his church, he is the head over all things. Do not forget that. And especially the elders, don't think you are the head. We are all servants, just serving. We tend to forget that because we think we have the power and the authority. No, in the body of Christ, only Christ as the head. That's why the Lord said in Matthew, the last verse, he said what? Come on. Only on earth. Only on earth. No, in heaven and on earth, all authority in heaven and on earth. Let us read it. It's always good for the young people to really know this verse. Verse 17. Right? And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, some authority, no, all, yeah, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Right. It should be all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whether it is the heavenly authority or the earthly authority, it is given now to him. I have no authority, do you? Yeah. Do you have any authority, anyone here? You have the authority in Nigeria? No authority. We all must submit to the headship of Christ. Right. This is the first part of the Feast of the Pentecost. If you don't learn that, then it's a sad story. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Because this has something directly to do with the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good for you to know all these verses in the Bible. You need to know these verses in the Bible. Yeah. So there was the scene in heaven, and the throne of God was there before the ascension of the Lord in chapter 4. Right? You see the throne. In chapter 4, let me just quickly read to you. In chapter 4, verse 1, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That was the living God himself. Right. And it says here, he who sat there on the throne was like a jasper, sardius stone in appearance, and of course a rainbow was there. Right. Praise the Lord for such a wonderful throne. Okay. Now, let's jump to chapter 5, because chapter 4 is the introduction of the throne of God. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, which is God, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth, meaning to say, no angel is in the heaven, or any man or on earth who is alive, or under the earth, that means those who are dead, was qualified, able to open the scroll or even to look into it. So I wept much. John was weeping. What are we going to do? No one was able, qualified to take that scroll, because that scroll in the whole book of Revelation is to administer the world and the universe. The time the Lord Jesus ascended all the way to the new heaven and new earth, this is what is written in the book of Revelation here. And no one was worthy to open and read the scroll or even to look at it. But one of the elders among the angels here, right? Because it's 24 elders there, said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open a scroll and to loose its 7 seal. And I looked, seals, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, 24 elders, namely, stood who?
Lamb.
Who is this Lamb?
Christ.
It's Christ. As though it has been slain. Now, the context of this is as though it has been freshly slain, because the Lord just rose from the dead and 40 days later he ascended. Now he is no longer a lamb before Pontius Pilate, so weak, ready to be slain. No, now he is the resurrected lamb. He has how many horns? A lamb with seven horns. You never saw such a lamb before, do you? Have you ever seen a lamb with seven horns? Well, I have. It's right here. Have you seen such a lamb? Amen. Amen. You should say, yes, I've seen it. It's right here. And how many eyes? Seven eyes. That means he sees everything. He is all powerful now, because all authority is given to him. Remember, number seven is a complete number in the Bible, right? His power is so complete to accomplish God's purpose. And his seven eyes could see everything. Don't think you can ever hide anything from him. Which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. My goodness. That means, wow, the seven spirits are his seven eyes sent out into the whole world. That means he sees everything in this world, huh? Even in Nigeria. Then he came. He came. He as a man. As a man. Because he is what? The lion of the tribe of?
Judah.
Right. Tribe of Judah. Is the tribe of Judah angels? What are they? Men. And of the root of David. Or David. Is David an angel? No. Who is David? Is a man. Now, this wonderful man who rose again from the dead, who was the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, now became a lion. Do you know the Lord Jesus as a lion? Now, is he a lion or is he a lamb? Just lamb? Not lion? He's a lion lamb. Oh, what a combination. That's a very good combination. Don't think, oh, the Lord Jesus is just a lamb so genial, huh? So genial and kind and always, you know. You didn't know his face of a lion. How many faces does the Lord have? Two. Here it's two, yeah, as a lion lamb, yeah. But he has four. Anyway. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. You need to appreciate this, because otherwise you thought the Lord has nothing to do in the heavens. He's just sitting there with his feet up on the, I don't know how, the footstool there. Now when he had taken the scrolls, the four living creatures and the 24 elders among the angels fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which bowls are the prayers of the saints. That's why we need to pray. And our prayer must be corresponding to the ascended Christ, to co-labor with him. Right. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, and have made us believers." No? You sure? It is written. it is written. And we shall reign in the heavens. Really? Did I read it wrongly? If you're going to be in heaven, how are you going to reign on earth? Amen. Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, etc., saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing." Right? And then in verse 13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits" where? "On the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." How wonderful. This is the ascension of Christ. This is the scene of the heavens after the Lord ascended. When he ascended, the first time it was to offer himself to God as the first fruits for God's enjoyment. But in the second time, he ascended, it was to be inaugurated for him to be head over all things, ruler over the nations, to have the scroll, to open the seals, and to administer everything that is going on until the Lord comes back to establish his kingdom on this earth. This is the first part of the feast of the Pentecost. Now, when we come back to second session, we will continue with the second part about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.